The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this Sunday, which celebrates the Ascension of the Lord. Today, we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
I am with you always. The Eucharistic Congress 2022 will run from June 18th through 25th. A number of activities will take place, including the lead-up to the event, the Feast of Corpus Christi. During the week-long event, there'll be opportunities for the faithful to sign up to spend time with the Lord in adoration. The Sacrament of Holy Orders to the Priesthood will be celebrated in the Cathedral on June 18th. June 24th's Opening Mass will celebrate the 110th anniversary of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. June 25th, the Eucharistic Congress Conference will take place at the Omni Corpus Christi Hotel, followed by individual parish celebrations on June 26th. A complete schedule of events can be downloaded at diocesecc.org/EC22.
Welcome back to the good old times. It's fun and games, with maybe a light snack or two. The St. Patrick Altar and Rosary Society is resuming its annual card parties on Saturday, June 11th, in the Parish Hall, 3350 South Alameda, from noon until 4 p.m. It'll be a fun day of getting together with family, friends, and members of the parish and other parishes. Reserve a table for your group. Bring your cards, dice, or favorite board game from home and enjoy a relaxed atmosphere with good friends and good food. Men are welcome. Proceeds from the card party help fund various expenses incurred by the parish, including flowers, candles, altar wine, hosts, and numerous other expenses. For more information, call Mary Helen, 361-688-5139.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Good, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Pray to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today, since it is the Ascension, it's 40 days after Easter, which was the resurrection of the Lord. And, of course, I had to go back and say, well, we had the resurrection and we had the Ascension, both raising, but there is a difference.
Well, the resurrection of the dead is Jesus returned to life from the grave, so that's a totally different experience than the Ascension, obviously. But it's interesting. The resurrection, of course, of Jesus is different from the raising of Lazarus because Lazarus died again. Jesus did not die again, so he was restored completely to life. And so now we have, after meeting with his disciples and encouraging them and spending time with them and giving them the mandate to go to the ends of the earth and asking for their total dedication and love, and the questions to Peter, do you love me more than the rest, feed my sheep, etc. All these things happened in that 40-day period. And so now Jesus, again, in his resurrected life, is now preparing to return, to ascend to the Father, so to leave earth and return to the Father from which he came. No one has come from heaven except the Son of Man, who has returned to heaven, as we've heard in the gospel throughout the Easter season. So now we're at that point in Bethany where Jesus leads his disciples out there and is also asking them to be prepared to receive the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, which will make them the witnesses to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is returning to the Father in his resurrected life, taking our humanity with him. So as he came to us, he came as God, born of the Virgin Mary, the incarnate Word. But as he returns to the Father now, he returns with his human body. So we then rejoice in the fact that our humanity is now in God as well, and part of God's life.
Well, as I was researching this, Bishop, I saw that there were two concepts that the disciples needed. They needed to be able to make sense of, you know, Jesus' traumatic and death, and they needed to understand the ministry that they knew that he was going to entrust to them. So Jesus was reminding them that the Spirit would soon come to clothe them with power, so to speak.
Right. Yes, and you know, as he's departing them, he also tells them to remain in Jerusalem, to remain in waiting for the power that would be given them through the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is, they kind of came back, they asked him a question too, and it's found in the Acts of the Apostles, which we have read this morning, or will read this morning in the first reading, which is, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he answered them, it is not for you to know the time or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So in that sense, as Jesus is departing, he's sending his Spirit. So this is the whole preparation for his departure. In that, you know, people wonder, okay, now you're going to restore everything now? I mean, in other words, are you going to still do your work? And he's basically handing the baton and saying, you're going to do it. He's commissioning us. And that's, again, not something just for the apostles and disciples that were there, present at the historical moment, but it's for us today as we celebrate this Feast of the Ascension. So is there a lack of forgiveness in our families? Well, the baton is ours. You have the power now to bring that forgiveness there, to reconcile people. Is there a lack of peace in a certain community or a certain association that we belong to? Are we just going to live with it? Or do we realize we have the baton of reconciliation and peace, and we're the ones commissioned by Jesus as he returns to the Father to bring his peace, to bring his reconciliation to that place? This is the thing that I keep stressing over and over and more during this Easter season, is we're the ones now that are commissioned by Jesus. Of course, we have our hierarchical structures. I mean, the bishop, priest, but all of us, in whatever ministry we have, whatever vocation we have been given, if we are baptized, confirmed, and receive the Holy Eucharist as disciples of Jesus, then we are the ones to bring that peace, to bring reconciliation, to bring forgiveness where we are, to bring mercy for this year of mercy and beyond. So it's not someone else's job, and I think this is something we have all got to get through our heads. At this point in time, when we see the tragic situation of our society, whether it is from the family or all the way up to national, international governments. When we see the tragedy of our society, we have to ask ourselves, what part am I playing in that, where I am and in the world around me? You know, there's that commentator on Fox News that says, I'm Waters and this is my world. Well, we all have a little bit of my world, our world. We all have a little bit of it. What are we doing with it? Are we dividing it more? Are we creating more tension because of our egos and because of our ideologies that we follow alone and everybody else is wrong? I'm the only one that's right. And or are we in some ways reaching beyond ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit to bring something new? And that's what Jesus was commissioning. So he tells them, it's not for you to know what the time or the place, you know. Well, if it's going to be tomorrow, then I'll just wait and let you do it. And I think that's the attitude with a lot of us. This is probably what the disciples were doing, petrified by, on one hand, because we'll also see in the Gospel of Luke that they rejoiced. But the Acts of the Apostles presents this question, are you going to restore it all now? And I think many of us are thinking, well, eventually Jesus will come back and he'll take care of it. I'll just be a part of the problem and not be a part of the solution. But I would really encourage all of us to be very serious about our commitment in baptism, our commitment in the sacramental life of the church, our commitment to the gospel, to say it's not for us to know the time or the place when Jesus will return. That's why he said, be vigilant today. Let's do something, what we can today, to bring a better world, a better situation in whatever part of the world we're in.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
After an abortion, the process of healing, both emotionally and spiritually, can take a long time. But thanks to the Rachel's Vineyard retreats, the pain can be converted to hope with the help of others in the same boat, caring clergy, nurturing counselors, and sacred scripture. Hearts are broken by abortion and miscarriage. If either has affected you, then consider a weekend retreat to help begin the process of restoration, renewal, and healing, which is found at the foot of the cross. The next Rachel's Vineyard retreat in the Corpus Christi area is scheduled for June 10th through 12th. Inquiry and participation are completely confidential. For more information or to register, visit rachelsvineyard.org or call or text Tammy Romo Alcala, 361-510-4684.
For many centuries, the Catholic Holy Mass was celebrated in Latin. Today, that tradition continues and is referred to as the extraordinary form of the Mass. The faithful at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 7522 Everhart in Corpus Christi, invite you to join them at the extraordinary form of the Mass in Latin, as encouraged by St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, complete with Gregorian chant and with Father Rodolfo Vasquez presiding, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. after recitation of the Holy Rosary. Daily Low Mass takes place every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:05 p.m. St. Edmund Campion Missals in Latin and English are provided for your convenience. For more information, call Jackie Hine at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 361-443-1945.
Every year, the church is called to reflect upon and celebrate youth and young adults. The International World Youth Day celebration takes place every 2 to 3 years. The next one is slated for Tuesday to Sunday, August 1st through 6th, 2023, in Lisbon, Portugal. It's an opportunity for millions of pilgrims from every continent to join with the Holy Father in prayer, worship, and in celebration of the Catholic faith. The Diocese Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry will be holding special events leading up to World Youth Day. If you are interested in going on this pilgrimage, please contact Margie Rivera, 361-882-6191.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, continuing our conversation from earlier, you know, the disciples, they had the sadness because they were losing Jesus. And then, of course, he gives them this mandate that they need to go out and evangelize, so to speak. But then, in the bottom of this gospel, it says they did him homage. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. So they went through quite a few emotions.
Right. And I think in all of that, you know, they understood a few things. They certainly remembered what Jesus had been saying to them. And one of the things that I recall that he told them not too much away from the event of the ascension is the image of the vine and the branches, that mm-hmm. that I am the vine, you are the branches, and whoever remains in me remains in my love. And I think that, you know, that has been a very strong message to all of us for years, and it's certainly something that as we take our Christianity and our Christian life seriously, both in the dimension of wanting to grow in holiness and to grow in God, but also to do the evangelization, as you said, being kind of thrown out to the wolves, you know, to go out there. We can't do that unless we remain, which is to remain in Jesus. St. Cyril of Alexandria had a kind of a wonderful little short explanation, is that when Jesus is telling us to remain in him, it's not just that we love Jesus as someone that's extraneous to our life, apart from our life, but that we remain in him. That's what he was saying, is to remain in my love, which means remain in my word, so that his words have to be alive and active in us, to remain in his spirit, of course, the spirit of that Jesus gives us, remain in him through the sacraments. Mm-hmm. They are the vital link, you might say, of being with Jesus and allowing him, opening our hearts and minds to him in the Holy Eucharist and the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And so with all of that alive in these early disciples and apostles, as they see him ascending to the Father, I think they probably had a very real realization that his absence would also be presence, that he would be absent physically, but because of all these things he had said to them, that he would also be present to them. I am with you always until the end of the world. Whatever you do to the least, you have done to me. Whoever hears my words, whoever hears me, hears the Father. You know, if you think of all the things he said, he was already preparing them so that his absence would be presence. And this is what would give them courage. Of course, the sadness of him not being there, present with them, obviously is something that that would kind of dismay any of us. But that was overshadowed, I think, by the fact that he had said all these things, that he would be with them always until the end of time. And so through the grace of God, they obviously understood that. So they returned home rejoicing and were constantly found in the temple area giving thanks to God. So the words that Jesus spoke to them earlier is something that continued in their hearts and their minds so that they could continue to be effective in their ministry. So it's with that that they went forward within great encouragement into the evangelization that the Lord wanted them to do.
Well, and you mentioned about that even though he wasn't there physically, they could feel his presence, and that's where we all feel his presence through the Spirit, and that's what he said, that the Spirit would soon come to clothe them with power.
Yes, right, and that's, you know, it says several times, both in the Acts of the Apostles and in the Gospel, that they were to remain and wait for that to happen. I would think of that waiting period, you know, what does that mean? to wait for the Lord to come and to send his power to them. They probably had no idea. Obviously, they had no idea of what that would mean, that Peter would end up in Rome. Paul would make, eventually, as he knew the Lord. Of course, he wasn't part of the early community, but he, too, received the power of the Holy Spirit and did his many apostolic journeys and all the others, and, of course, all facing death but John. So it's, and others with persecution and martyrdom there. So, but it was this power of knowing that Christ was present. And I personally think, again, as we today try to be modern-day disciples, missionary disciples of Jesus, that is something that we have to be more in tune to, that the Lord Jesus is present. You know, I think so many, if we just think that the world's going to disintegrate, or it's in such a bad situation that it's just going to, you know, where with a handbasket, you know, mm-hmm. It's all going to all these terrible ideas of the world just falling apart. And it certainly is in a tragic situation right now. That's what I was saying earlier. It's in a tragic moment of history as far as the church goes, and the truth of God that he's given us in Jesus goes. I mean, there's so much that wars against the teaching of Christ, the truth that Christ has come to bring us. But we, especially, we his disciples and those of us of faith, have to have an abiding awareness that he is present to us. And so just as those disciples, we await that kind of awakening to his presence. And what are we going to do with it? Again, are we just going to sit and wait till he comes again and try to create my own little world that I can be comfortable in and spiritually comfortable in? Or are we going to get off the chair and go make a difference, put a smile on our faith in the midst of tragedy, and try to really evangelize others with our words and but above all with our actions? Or, Lord, when are you going to come and restore your kingdom? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are two different attitudes. Mm-hmm. And certainly the ascension, the feast of the ascension, as Jesus returns to the Father, we can be sure that he is at the right hand of the Father, which is what we profess, interceding for us, giving us the graces we need so that we can make a difference in the world that we live in our families, above all, starting there, in our local communities there. But we have to have a transformation of our mentality. You know, I'm just sometimes wonder where people are coming from that are professed Christians, professed Catholics, and have a mentality of the world, which could be vengeance, lack of forgiveness, gossip, pointing fingers,
discrimination,
ignoring the poor, ignoring this person, the immigrant, not being welcoming. Those are anti-Christian attitudes, mm-hmm. Which, as we've seen, the Pope's not afraid to point out in certain people, not condemning anyone, not to condemn anyone, ever, with our remarks. But I think we need to point out that sometimes our attitudes do not reflect Jesus. And so it calls to question this whole mystery of the ascension. No wonder people don't believe in the mysteries of God, the mystery of resurrection, the mystery of ascension, because they don't see it in us. And I guess the Holy Spirit worked us to this point for me to say what I really wanted to say. The whole program is that if there's an unevangelized world, it's because they don't see it in us. If there's a question of the mysteries of God, it's because they don't see it alive in us. We are these witnesses, not just word and going out and trying to convince everyone, because we also have been told over the last 15, 20 years, our ministry, our evangelization is not about proselytizing, convincing people. It is about witnessing to the person of Jesus. And so that's why we should always have an examination of conscience. If they don't believe, it's maybe part of it, not all of it, but part of it is they don't see it in us.
Very true. And what I'm hearing from you also, Bishop, is that we need to be proactive rather than passive. We can't just let somebody else take care of things. We need to take care of things.
Right.
If there are things to be done and things to be said.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, if we're going to be back pew or Catholics, you know, just sit in the back and run out the door as soon as ite misi es is pronounced, the Mass is over, and whoosh, got my duty done, and out I go. Well, let's look at that, friends. Let's relook at that. Is that who we are?
I had a friend say, and she's Catholic, just recently, going to church doesn't get you to heaven.
No, that's true.
And it's very true.
That's true.
That's very true. It's what you do in between.
Yeah. So I think, you know, this day of Ascension is really critical for all of us, that we, the Lord has returned to the Father, promised to send the power of the Holy Spirit, and is given to us through the sacraments of the church and renewed through the sacraments of the church. We have baptism and confirmation, the coming of the Spirit, and the sacrament of penance as we confess our sins, renews that presence of the Spirit in us. Again, what are we going to do with it? We receive the Holy Eucharist, and Christ receives us in the Eucharist as we present ourselves to Him, and it's a present. So, to be convinced today, I would ask all of us on the Feast of the Ascension to be convinced today that Jesus is present in the world today. He's present in the church. He is present in our lives. Despite all of the difficulties, despite the dark nature sometimes that we see, the human nature that overshadows the church and overshadows people's lives, let's all get together and witness to the presence of Christ alive in the church and alive in our lives. And that will certainly rub off and be a witness to other people.
I agree. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Gladden us with your holy joys, Almighty God, and make us rejoice with devout thanksgiving. For the ascension of Christ your Son is our exaltation. And where the head has gone before in glory, the body is called to follow in hope. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. Have a wonderful rest of your Mother's Day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.